We're back. Another month. Time's flying. I think the weather's about to break. Anyway, we have a great show tonight. We have one of my dear friends and one of the pillars of Downriver, Jim Perry, coming on with us tonight. You go to Downriver anywhere, Downriver. You mention that name, you're golden. We also have Mike Weaver from Plunkett Cooney. We'll have Todd Perkins, my partner in crime, coming on tonight. There's a lot of big cases going around the country. We probably may take some calls. We might do something different this month. We may do something different, take some calls, talk about some of those big cases. But I'm really excited. I'm really excited to talk to Jim Perry. He runs the Downriver Conference, community conference down in Allen Park and the like, and is doing God's work down there, and it's exciting. But he's someone that everyone should know and the work he does. So I look forward to this show. It's going to be a great one. And just, you know, a side note, thank you, everybody, for wishing me happy birthday. The big 6-0 today. Unbelievable. Can you believe that? I 1 year past my brother Kip. God bless him. May he rest in peace. We'll be right back just after this.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
All right. You guys are too kind. Thanks, fellas. Well, I have to say, first and foremost, Jim, you with me, my man?
I'm with you, Todd. Happy birthday. Thanks. Mentioned your brother, Kipper, that graduated with me from Allen Park High School. We lost him way too soon. And I think there was, when we had a Perry, we had a flood. And our brothers
have been
all friends, and you and I, for many, many years. And congratulations on all your great work and your radio show here on the Great Voice of the Great Lakes, WJR. Honored and pleasure to be here.
Oh, my man, you are someone that's in my heart and will be in my heart forever, buddy. You've done more for me than I've done for you, and you've done more for this community that we grew up in than many people know about. So not everyone knows. I mean, you were a guard out at Houston, 75, 76, some of the best players, Otis, all of those guys, Phi Slamma Jamma, friends with, you know, Freddie Couples, Jim Nance. I have to ask you this before we get into the thrust of it. I have to ask you, were you on the edge of your seat during the Masters? I mean, seriously, was that was the drama of drama. It was like Rocky getting punched by the Russian and going down on the mat and then him bouncing back up. It was unbelievable.
Well, it was a great Masters, the most watched Masters since 2018. Of course, Jimmy and his crew did a great job, and so happy for Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
I think we cheer for him all the time, and finally got this one behind him, and now he's part of the Grand Slam group, and couldn't be happier for Rory McIlroy. Just a great golfer and a great competitor, and a great guy from what everybody says.
Yeah, he seems like it, he has that burden off. I got to believe that will free him up. But you could see mentally, I mean, sports psychologists around the world have to be able to take that, put it on YouTube, and teach a class on how to keep your helmet straight and focus in on what you have to focus in on. I mean, how many times, 4 double bogeys, the fact that he throws one in the water on 13, that looked like one of my shots. I don't know. I mean, it was just amazing of how cluttered the mind can get when anyone does anything and the pressure is there. This was a pure example of resilience, and I got to believe, we got to get Jim Nance sometime. But I'd love to pick his brain because he's seen and been through so many. But anyway, so that being said, I want everyone to know about the Downriver Community Conference. You're the executive director. I don't know. We have a huge listening audience that covers the Great Lakes and goes to the Midwest. What do y'all do downriver? What do you, in Allen Park, Southgate, Riverview, Taylor, all of that community is such a vital part to Wayne County. What is it that you all do?
Well, I'll try to give you the quick version here. It's River Rouge, south of Rockwood, West Romulus, and Dearborn, Dearborn Heights. So there's 20 communities that make up about 540,000, you know, people.
Right.
And we started with the first interlocal agreement. Downriver Mutual Aid started it in 1967. I'm the administrator for mutual aid, the police chiefs and fire chiefs. 10 years later, you know, we saw a downturn in the economy.
Right.
BASF closed their Southworks plant, which is now a nine-hole golf course. Dana closed their e-course plant. And the mayors were saying, we can't handle all these people. So the Downriver Community Conference Workforce Development came about. I started there in 81. This is my 44th year.
Congrats.
And we've been rolling ever since. We wrote the first national retraining grant that was enacted in Congress by our longtime friend, the late John Dingell.
John Dingell.
And workforce programs go throughout the country. But it started right there in Wyandotte, where we were located, and then moved to Southgate in 1984. So we do weatherization. We do economic development. We're rebuilding everything that closed right now, Todd. It's great, right on the water with the help of the state, our good friends from the county, and Detroit Regional Partnership. You know, you can't do it by yourself. Everybody said, oh, I can do it. There, you know,
right.
There's no doubt I can do it. There's absolutely, without the partners, without funding, we're taking the old Michigan Steel plant, E-Course on Mill Street, redoing that. As you know, we took down McLaws Steel and won the national EPA award for that. So people are looking at these different facilities because Downriver is a great place to work, a great place to get an education, and just a great place to be for all of us.
Yeah. So when you say, for example, you know, everyone that took the bridge to go over to Groseal or drove on Jefferson, we saw the McLaws Steel plant, right? We saw that,
right,
that nemesis,
right,
that was vacant. My brother actually worked there for a period of time. So what, when you take this stuff down, you make a green space. What do you do with it?
Well, you know, it's you brownfield it, you clean it up. And it's a plant that 5,500 people work there, Todd. You know, no one talked about, well, we got a lot of traffic. 17,500 right down the street at U.S. Steel at one time.
Right.
Those 23,000 jobs gone. There's about 500 to 800 people left at U.S. Steel. And as you know, Nippon is in the process of trying to buy them. And you know, that would be great if we can get that plant started again. It's right on the water, which is perfect.
Yeah, it is. That, you know, is a huge thing. We got to take a break in about 15 seconds, but I want you back be after the break. I want to talk about all the work that you put into bringing people jobs and creating jobs downriver, and all the aid you get to the veterans and the like, because you work with the courts, you work with everybody. So I want to talk about that. Stay with us. We'll be right back just after this. I got to tell you, Link, I like the new music coming in. So we have with us one of my mentors and heroes in my life, Jim Perry, executive director for the Downriver Conference, Downriver Community Conference, and the work he does. Brother Jim, you obviously have your hands in a lot of pots. You have to steer a lot of different things. Tell us a little bit, you know, of the work you do to help citizens getting jobs and giving aid downriver.
Well, basically, if a person has lost their job or laid off, or they're just looking for another job, they can come into our office at 15100 North Line in Southgate, the old Schaefer High School, as
right.
We know it.
Yeah.
And we've been there since, like I said, 84. And we help people with job training. We help people with schooling. We started a veterans program about 7 years ago. I went and spoke to the late Joe Peterson. Joe was a Vietnam vet and had Agent Orange and, you know, basically got assistance from the American Legion. And he said, Jim, can we start a program for veterans? Well, I said, Joe, I put a lot of veterans to work over the years. Why not? So we have a room in conjunction. The American Legion runs it. And I had a few people tell me, oh, it'll never work. Well, 7 years it started, it's been going on, and 27,000 vets later, we have helped them get their benefits to assist them, you know, during their life while they're here. And who deserves it more than someone that fought for us and fought for our country
Amen.
Than our veterans?
Yeah. Amen.
So it's a wonderful program. It works, and God bless the American Legion and the other service organizations out there, DFW, and the many others that have helped our veterans. I mean, in Todd, we've seen people, believe it or not, from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Operation Iraqi Freedom, you name it, they've come in. I've had people come on all the way in from Cadillac. They've heard about this program. And the veterans and American Legion do an outstanding job helping them every day. And it was worth, I think about Joe Peterson all the time, because he's the one that basically said, Jim, we can do this. I said, yes, we can. And we did.
Yeah, I tell you, I've done some work, and more is needed in our veterans court for the people that, you know, we have that come back.
Right.
And fall to not being able to adapt back because they've been in combat or just seen their partner blown up in front of them. And, you know, the fact of the matter is Veterans Court, you and what the American Legion and VFW do, and I've seen it firsthand and have worked with and defended, but, you know, for what you do, what the conference does downriver, my hat's off to you. So, well, you know, my dad, you know, was in the Korean War. So, you know, that's stuff, and served in the reserves afterwards. So it's you know, that touches home.
Yeah. All of us know, had a father or a grandfather. My dad was in World War II and Purple Heart and Bronze Star, never talked about it. Those guys never talked about it. So you didn't know anything until after they passed, you find their medals and say, wow. And, we do have a veterans court in Southgate. We started that. And Jim Kondravis, retired job, James Kondravis called me and I said, we'd like to do it right in Southgate. So, you know, we have about 20 people in the court right now. Many have graduated, have done well, but some of them, as you say, need a hand.
That's
and,
right.
The veterans court is there to help them. And that's what we're here to do. I mean, you know, you may be on top of the world and then you look at other people and you say, holy Toledo, what can I do to help these folks that have done so much for so many? And that's what we do. And that's what we've been doing since 1977. And it's been a lot of fun.
My man, I love you, brother. Next time we'll have to talk. I know your alma mater lost a tight one. They made it all the way there. We'll have to talk about that over a beer. I love having you on, and we'll do it again.
Thanks, Todd, for having me. Happy birthday, and I need to get together with you. I'll buy you lunch soon. How's that?
You got it, brother. We'll do it at Morrow's. All right.
You got it.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.
Well, we have coming on, you know, one of those guys that he allows me to carry his briefcase once in a while. I'll put it to you like that. You know, he's a trial lawyer. He works at a big law firm in our state in the Midwest, Plunkett Cooney. Mike Weaver, he's the real trial lawyer. He actually goes into the courtroom and does the litigation. Mike, you with me, my man?
I'm with you. Happy birthday, Todd.
Thanks, brother. Thank you.
Unbelievable.
I know.
I wouldn't make it, you know?
You know, there were some questions out there. There were some questions whether
never a doubt.
You know, if I get to heaven before you, or you get there before me, throw a rope down so I can get in.
You got it.
Yeah,
done.
Yeah. Done. So we talked a little bit, but I just listened to your schedule. So 95% of cases settle in civil court prior to trial. I look at you and you not only are settling cases, but you're actually going to do jury trials. You've already done a couple this year and you got a few stacked up. How are you how many trials do you have scheduled through May?
I have got, let's see, one on April 21st, one on April 28th, and then two in May and an arbitration in May as well. And a mock trial on another matter in May. So I'm hoping that after that, I clear up a little bit. May 20th will be my 30th wedding anniversary. So we've got a trip planned, but a little later in the year. So I'm hoping to be able to celebrate my 30-year anniversary a little bit, get through these trials, and then maybe have a little breather in June.
I gotcha. Well, I know your wife. You're definitely over your skis. That's good.
That's good.
Now, let me ask you I have I've been watching, or some people have asked me to give comments on, you know, this trial up in Boston or Massachusetts, you know, with regards to Reed, you know, the lady that's charged with killing her boyfriend with the hit and run. It's a mistrial, or a hung jury mistrial, the first one. Now they're redoing it. I'm watching a couple other cases that are going forth. This is the question, and I don't think our listeners understand this. I think the biggest thing to a trial, and I've done my fair share and continue to do them, is voir dire. And one of the problems I'm seeing with the younger judges is the absence of allowing attorneys to voir dire. That is, for everybody, you know, you can explain it, but being able to pick a jury that is fair and impartial. And you can't just ask boilerplate questions, can you be fair in this case? And think that you're going to get a fair trial. How is it going for you? You just tried a couple trials.
You know what? I've been really fortunate. I've had very, very good judges. But, you know, Todd, I remember, you know, back in the day, you know, you'd submit your voir dire and I'd say, well, someone got, you know, I was a brand new lawyer. Someone got some good voir dire. What should I say? And one of the questions was, what bumper stickers do you have? And I never really figured that out. I guess maybe I can figure it out a little bit now. But, you know, the important part of voir dire is, you know, judges aren't going to let you try your case during voir dire, but you're building a relationship with your jurors. And it really counts because it's only two times that as a defense lawyer, I get to talk to the jury, right? It's in my voir dire and in my closing. The prosecutor gets to talk more than, you know, we do,
right?
Or a plaintiff lawyer gets to talk more than we do. Right. So you really need to build a relationship so they can trust you, you know, and when judges don't let you do it, it's a disadvantage for all sides.
I totally agree. I want to talk more about that and a couple things about other cases. We'll be right back. Hang with us, Mike. We'll be right back with Behind the Bench just after this. We're back. And we have with us Mike Weaver from Plunkett Cooney, that Silk Stocking law firm. But, you know, Mike's just a regular guy. That's what I love about him. I mean, you know. Anyway, Brother Mike, this is the problem. You with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, fine. This is the problem I have with, you know, you're right. It's an arranged marriage when you go into a courtroom, right? Because the jurors don't have any choice. They have to be there, right? And
correct.
The fact of the matter is many of them, if not most of them, are scared, don't want to talk in public, don't want to say their true feelings, don't want to, you know, they want to, many of them want to be in a cocoon and don't want to open up.
And we're asking some really personal questions.
Right. And a judge, if a judge is just reading off a template, it's very difficult to get the tone or the pulse or the feel for who this person really is. And I love many judges like peeling back the layers of the onion of how you think and how you feel and what your thoughts process are. And you can't get that by just reading off a script and having boilerplate questions. I understand you're not supposed to try your case in voir dire. And for all the listeners out there that are joining us, that's, I think, in the very beginning of a trial. You just saw it in the Reed case. They got, I think, 19 jurors, I don't know, 7 alternates, whatever the case may be. It took 2 weeks to pick this jury, probably, you know, obviously, because of publicity. But that is your time, and you get to build a relationship with a juror for them to break down their wall, if you will, and to be candid and honest. So they can use that, you know, being candid and honest in deliberations, being candid and honest when they're evaluating the evidence or lack thereof. That's the biggest problem I have right now with not allowing attorneys. And I should caveat this, attorneys that are skilled, that have done jury trials, more than 25, having them have the opportunity to do that. I don't know. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I find that every judge I've tried a case in front of wants everybody to have a fair trial. And sometimes the thought process is, look, the more I let the lawyers play around in voir dire, more likely there's going to be something that causes someone to complain and ask for a mistrial, right? So I understand that theory, but I think you put your finger right on it, Todd, when you said, you know, if you got skilled lawyers who've tried a number of cases, you got you can feel a little more comfortable letting him or her go a bit in the voir dire. I'm not talking about, you know, in most trials, you don't need 2 weeks to pick a jury. You can pick a jury in a day or even a half a day.
Right.
You know, we do get peremptory strikes, but, you know, in a civil case, I get three. And, you know, you don't want to waste them. You know, those are strikes for the folks listening. I can kick someone off a jury for really any reason at all, so long as it's not racially motivated. And there's a case called Batson that's on point for that. But, you know, if the judges trust you, and I've found that, you know, most judges are pretty receptive to it if you say in advance, so judge, how do you handle voir dire? And the judge will say, well, this is what I usually do. Judge, do you mind if I ask a few questions? Well, you can ask follow-ups. Well, then it's a matter of how far can you go with your follow-ups, right? You never want to get sideways with the judge, you know, especially even before the trial starts. So you got to be very careful as the trial lawyer. But, you know, the bottom line is whether it's a civil trial or a criminal trial, I mean, there's high stakes here. You know, in a criminal trial, someone's liberty is at stake. You know, someone might be going to prison.
Right.
And, you know, I want to be able to say I gave it everything I had to make sure that, you know, my client got the best possible lawyering that they could possibly get, you know. But again, clients have to understand we have to work within the framework that the judge gives, you know.
Right. So that's the biggest thing. And I find that judges that, this way, if you have a good reputation like you, Mike Weaver, out there, a great reputation for trying cases, and you have integrity, that judges know, you know, lawyers talk about judges and judges talk about lawyers. Judges know, you know, lawyers that might use a little skullduggery, and that's just kills it for everybody. You know, you have to be, you know, that as good as your handshake and as good as your word. You lose your reputation in a courtroom, you lose it for forever. So I get it. You can't piss off a judge. You can't upset the judge, the court, and, you know, try to bend the rules. That's crazy. But it's one of those things. So you have several cases coming up to trial.
I do.
What's the big ones?
You know, to my client, they're all the big ones, you know, and they're right, because it's some of them are like bet the company. So I've got some business disputes coming up that are pretty substantial. I've got a dispute out in Livingston County where my client was sort of the money man behind a real estate development, and the general contractor, at least our position is, you know, blew the money and didn't complete the houses and put my guy in a bad spot. Now that contractor won the race to the courthouse, so my client had to file a counter complaint. So I came in a little bit late on that, and we'll try that one the end of April. So that's going to be interesting. It really good lawyers on the other side. So that is nice.
It's always
in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's better to have a really good lawyer on the other side, because sometimes you get someone that doesn't really know what he or she is doing, and it makes it a little bit hectic in the courtroom. You can overcome
absolutely.
It, but you know.
Yeah. So, I agree. Yeah. It's always good to have great lawyers on both sides. It just makes it easier for everybody.
Yeah.
Let me, I know you are a huge baseball fan. Before I let you go, you got to like our Tigers. The Tigers are doing pretty good.
I mean, listen, it's no surprise that the first baseman from Arizona State University hit his sixth home run this year in his 18th game of the year. Last year, he hit his sixth home run in his 63rd game of the year, or 83rd, something like that. So he's definitely seeing the ball a little bit better. But listen, they're young. They have a low payroll. They've got a great starting lineup as far as the pitchers. They've got a pretty darn good bullpen. You know, it'll be interesting. I mean, I worry a little bit about injuries, like Rogers, I think, is hurt, but Dingler seems to be doing pretty darn well.
Yep.
Riley Green's slumping a little bit, but he'll be fine. He's an all-star. He'll be fine. So we got to get to a game.
Nothing better than a beer and a dog at a baseball game. So we'll do it this year. All right, my man. Always a pleasure talking and working with you. Thanks for coming behind the bench today.
Thanks, pal.
All right. So we have with us now Todd Perkins, candidate for mayor of the city of Detroit, one of my true dear friends. He is, and I'm going to tell you this right now, there is no sleep. He just got done doing a jury trial. I was in court, and I had to go in front of the Honorable Mike Hathaway. And here, who do I see with a jury in the box and him going at heavy cross-examination? None other than Todd Perkins. Brother Todd, you with me, my man?
Happy birthday, man. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, you should have told me it was your birthday yesterday when I saw you, just to confirm that, you know, you're going to bless me with letting me come on your show and talk to your audience. But, you know, let's all, I hope your whole audience is wishing you a happy birthday and many more. And you know, take a little bit of time, because you talk about I work. Well, you know, we're still in it. I have closing arguments in the morning.
Oh, my. Do you really?
I got closing arguments in the morning. And, you know, I intended to start the show with you as I usually do at 7, but I had a webinar for my campaign from 6 to 7:15. So I didn't want to, you know, alienate them, because, you know, I didn't, you know, when you told me yesterday, I was like, ah, you know, but I love the show. You know, but I got to talk to my people in the city. And, you know, but yeah. And then tonight, prep for my closing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You did your closing a long time ago. You're gonna refine that closing.
Oh yeah. You know something? I would tell you, I do it like an English paper. You know, an English paper starts with the beginning, mm-hmm. and you end with how you started, and you know, and it gives a sense of completeness. It gives a sense of integrity and credibility to the argument that you made, and everything started in this case, as I described it, as a self-fulfilling prophecy on the other side. And all the tricks and tools that they have put in place demonstrate that. And that's, you know, part of my closing. I'm going to work on it tonight. But I do have a comment about what you and Mike are talking about. I'm going to see Mike. And, you know, you also got to mention that Mike does a lot of facilitation, you know.
And
I'm going to see him. And he may not know it, because we go through his administrative people. But so I'll see him later, maybe in next month. But. But, you know, you do voir dire without letting the judge know you're doing voir dire, you know?
Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Yes. Yes. My man, we got quite a bit left on this segment, but I need you. We'll be right back just after this with Behind the Bench and Todd Perkins. My partner, Todd Perkins, candidate for the city of Detroit's top spot as mayor. I can't think of a better person to run that spot. And just from what he's done and where he's been and, you know, all the things that he continues to do for the city of Detroit. But albeit he's in a murder trial. He's in a trial. And ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you, I've played sports. I've done physical labor. I've done it all as far as, you know, excruciating stuff with physical, you know, work. But trying a case, there is no more draining thing that I can think of on the body and on the mind than doing a jury trial of one of that nature. Todd, how you know, I know you're like the ever ready battery, but the experience for all the listeners out there, you know, you're running on fumes at times, but your endorphins are so up. You're running on that extra energy. It doesn't happen to you don't come into the crash until after.
You know, it's you have to get up for this. It is the most important event for any one person's life, whether it be a criminal case, whether it be a civil case. But right then, that person has to be the most important, and that case has to be the most important thing around you. You know, Rome can be burning around you, and all you're doing is laser focused on this. And you're so right. It's like right now I've done, you know, the webinar and right now we're on the radio show. The energy is still flowing from earlier today, but you know, there's a crash out, you know,
right,
where I usually work until maybe midnight, a lot of nights, you know, right, my crash out comes about 10 and it crashes and you have to get your sleep, because I'll tell you what it's like. You know, I'm not a swimmer. But whenever you go swimming, and you know, I have a lot of respect for swimmers, because you're using almost every muscle in your body.
Right.
And if you ever go swimming, especially if you're not a swimmer, that feeling of how you feel when you get out of the pool after, you know, you spend 45 minutes in a pool and not really somebody who's used to doing that.
That's a great point.
It is, because your mind, you know, you're not moving around, but your mind is just burning energy all day because you're thinking about every move, anticipating. So it's a game of chess, and you have to anticipate 5 and 6 moves of the other ahead of the other side. And, you know, for people who don't, you know, they do this business a disservice if they're not doing cases like that. You know, if they're not putting that kind of energy into cases.
Right.
It really is just, you know, and I'm not just talking about the client, but I'm talking about the practice of law and having that energy that comes with it and putting it to, you know, putting mind to paper, pen to paper, and putting every ounce of energy and acumen and knowledge in anything that you can have until there's no more, and then reaching in the tank and pulling out some more. That's how it is. You know, because remember when you got that big verdict, you know, about the $100 million, you know,
right.
plus. What's this called? $100 million plus, right?
Right.
But you had to, you know, you had to take a couple of days off.
Yeah, no,
you know, you have to take a couple of days off.
Absolutely. And for everyone out there, you know, athlete or physical labor, whatever the case may be, professional sports, I can tell you, Todd, you're 1,000% correct. It is that swimming experience for a non-swimmer going in and doing 45 minutes of laps or whatever the case may be. You are just physically when the endorphins, you know, are released and you're going at it, you're on that high. But when you when the case is over and the jury's done your closing argument and the jury comes back, there is a crash that is as though you just ran 2 marathons. I went to a seminar on that very issue, and one of the biggest things, my problem is that I can't sleep throughout a night.
Yeah, I know that.
You get up at 3 in the morning and you're pacing when you're in trial and you're going at it and you know, and it's a constant go. But, you know, so that's it. So you are doing your closings tomorrow. I don't want to get too heavy into the case, but, you know, the fact of the matter is you had to go through how many witnesses in this case?
Oh, my goodness. It's been going on since Monday of last week. And we've gone 5 days, and tomorrow will be 4th day. So it's a 9-day trial, which typically in most jurisdictions, if this was 9, you know, because fortunately Judge Hathaway has the ability to go all 5 days because he's a visiting judge, although – he is doing another docket too, but we have had, I want to say, 20 witnesses.
Wow.
And I had your buddy on the stand as my witness, Dr. Dragovich, today.
Yeah.
He was awesome.
Yeah, that's pressing the play button there. You just You put him up on the stand. Press play. Press play. That's the only reprieve you have, is because that's an expert, man. That guy, he knows it so well. So.
I can't say what the outcome is going to be, but I know the prosecutor pushed a button that he wished he could take back. He wished he could press rewind. And, you know, he went, you know, how sometimes every now and then, and as a lawyer, you're like, this is my move. I'm going to go for this guy right now. I'm going to go. And he went, and no go. That should not have, no. You should not have pressed that button right there.
And Dr. Dragovich, well, you have to go with the facts. That's evidence.
You have to, and
you must understand the facts of the case. You can't make stuff up. I can hear him testifying right now. You know what I mean?
Oh, and not only that, he said those very same things. And he said, you know, they make the mistake of asking, well, you testify for the defense. He says, I've been called down here to testify for your office and you. Several times. And, you know, he's just like, you know, and it was an issue of, you know, gravity, and we won't get into that. But you know, he didn't like his answer, and he was trying to reconfigure him into a point where he could use that in argument. And I know what he was trying to do, because here we go. We're playing chess again, right?
Right.
So I'm anticipating what his moves that he's anticipating. So not only do we have to anticipate for ourselves, but you have to do anticipatory things in anticipating what they're going to do. So it's almost like a double hearsay or a double entente, you know?
Right.
And
right.
It is, and that's where the energy comes in. Like, you know how you said how tired you are, and you really can't even express how tired you are until it's over. You know?
No, exactly. So now you do closings 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and
9:30.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then you know, who knows?
The jury and,
yeah, who knows how long the jury will be out? It's all tea leaf reading.
Circumstantial case, and you know you can't go that far anymore because you're not downtown.
Right.
Remember, you used to be downtown, and you could you go over to the club, or you go over here, and you know, take care of a little business because you're 5 minutes away.
Right.
There's no place that's 5 minutes away from there.
No. So when you're mayor, we need to have developments for some restaurants and some places.
Absolutely.
To, you know, I mean, that to me is the biggest. You're jammed in like sardines in parking, but the people have nowhere to go. So all the listeners out there, Frank Murphy, pack your lunch. You know, it's one of those things.
Or go down to that one store that's line is outside. You know, I wish, you know, I'm hats off to those guys who own the store. They were the same guys that were down in
Frank Murphy.
Frank Murphy. But you know, they have a monopoly. You know, if you want an antitrust litigation, go down to that store right there. that's prime for an antitrust suit.
Well, so when you're mayor, that's got to be developed.
Development is the key.
That's right.
Development is the key, and you know, creating an atmosphere in which people, you know, a spirit in which people want to develop and feel comfortable doing it, and creating, you know, creating careers, not just jobs for people. So that's
Jim Perry on to talk about that in the beginning hour.
I'm going to go back and listen to it on.
He was great, man, with Veterans Corps, all the great stuff he does downriver. You know, one of the things as mayor. One of the things I keep on looking at, and I drive down Woodward, and I'll go from, you know, downtown up to the Detroit Golf Club, get to Seven Mile, but you got to go through Highland Park.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Highland Park is a square within the city of Detroit.
2.9 square miles.
Why doesn't Detroit take over or work with Highland Park to take? I mean, there's got to be something because.
Oh, yeah, I definitely believe that. And I believe that, you know, as mayor, I was used to be the former city attorney in Highland Park.
I know.
So as city attorney or as mayor, I have no intention of ceding that city into the city, or I still like it to have its rich own independent culture.
I
do believe that there's an overlapping of things that we could do that would benefit both, because, you know, I truly believe in the spirit of a rising tide, all ships rise.
That's right.
And, you know, I can't have Highland Park not enjoying the growth that Detroit's been growing, because look what's adjacent to Highland Park. We got the golf club. We got Palmer Park.
Yeah.
We've got all these – and all of those areas and outlying areas of Highland Park want Highland Park to be successful.
We're going to get back to it, my man. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yep.
I love you, my friend.
Man, I love you. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you.
And I'll see you and buy you a drink when I see you.
You got it.
All right.
Everybody, thank you so much for joining us tonight. Behind the bench, it's been a great one. And again, thank you to all those well wishers for my birthday. Much appreciated. God bless everyone.